Hi there, everybody. This is Armand DeMel with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Hey. Nice to be with you today. Very, very nice to be with you today. Today I have something unique for you. Something that brings you back. Something that will hopefully bring you back. If you think about it, you know, why are there some people who are always thinking about the past and other people who don't? Last year I made a movie. 2 years ago I made a movie. The movie was called Home, H-O-M-E. In that movie, we had a whole bunch of people from New York. This director came along and wanted to create this movie. And she asked some of New York's most prominent people, including Liam Neeson, Rosie Perez, Woody Allen, Mike Myers, Susan Sarandon, Malachi McCourt, Frank McCourt, Colin Quinn, Alfred Molina, Pete Hamill, people like that, you know? Top-notch people known in New York, and she interviewed us about New York and living in New York. Well, the movie came out, and this interesting thing about the movie is that it was absolutely, what bothered me is that what everybody had to say was somewhat negative about New York. They were mostly saying that New York used to be great, and it's not so great now. I mean, I was different, of course. I said, oh, no, New York is fabulous. You know, and I enjoy New York, and I enjoy the rhythm of New York, and I talked about it. But as I listened closely to people like Woody Allen, I heard this negativity about the way things used to be as opposed to the way things are now. And one of the reasons that the film, I think, which was a beautiful art film, and of course you could even see it, it's called HomeTheMovie.com, it's somewhere on the internet. It's a beautiful film, but the thing I didn't like about it was mostly remorseful. That everybody had something to say about what they were missing, you know, and I mean, Rosie Perez gets up there and talks about what she was missing from the subways, and Woody Allen talked about how it used to be that he could keep his door open. And Colin Quinn and Pete Hamill. Colin Quinn talks about missing pretzels on the street. The real question is not about the movie, of course. The real question is about this idea of why do we think backwards? What's it about? So today's program, I'm going to talk about two things. Homesickness and nostalgia. Both. I want to have you calling in, too, because I want you to think about certain things. Like, here's a question for you. Talk about just nostalgia for a moment. If I were to mention a number of names of people who have died, who are famous people, do any of them touch your heart? Does any of them just go, ooh, I really miss that person? Well, according to what age you are, you know, you're going to see whether they were in your life or not. If I talked about John F. Kennedy, or if I talked about John Lennon, or Martin Luther King, Marilyn Monroe. I have a person who works with me who said Lucille Ball was the big death that touched her heart, even though she's a young woman. Is there a particular death that touches you when you think about it? John Belushi, you know, why? And we're going to figure out why. We're going to figure out why there's a particular memory that touches you more than any other memory, and you probably know why, but you probably don't know that there's even more to it than you think. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, back with you after being a month on irregular schedule, or as my friend Tim would say, schedule. For being here and, you know, being with you, we were doing marathon, raising money for the station. Now, nothing gets in our way, neither snow, nor sleet, nor rain, nor commercials. WBAI. Great station. Great. Hey, listen, if you made a donation to the station, please do send in the money. Because this is a time that, we wait to reap all of the promises 212. Well, you know the number, don't you? We're going to be getting your calls a little later. So let's think about homesickness and nostalgia. Is there something in particular that rings a nostalgic note for you? First, let's talk about homesickness. I believe that there is a syndrome, which I call adult homesickness. I am making it up myself. Homesickness is usually something that we attribute to children when they go away to camp or they leave home or something like that. But homesickness is a feeling of despair, depression, anxiety that people have with concurrent thoughts about missing some other place that they would prefer to be or elements of another place. Now, think about New York City. New York City, Manhattan, most people who live here, who come here from another place, most people who live in Manhattan were not born in Manhattan. If you were born here in Manhattan and you had a family right here on the island of Manhattan, that family moved out. You know, they moved to Long Island, they bought a home, in New Jersey. They did not stay in Manhattan. Who stayed in Manhattan? Mostly the single individual people or the couples, the young couples. Stayed in Manhattan. Therefore, almost no one who lives in Manhattan has immediate family here. You understand, the family's outside in the boroughs somewhere, but they're not in the neighborhood. They're not around the corner. And most people who live here come from other cities, so your family's really pretty far away. That means that when you walk around the city, you don't have any, you know, where's your family? Where are your roots? Does this lead to some kind of a negative feeling? Well, for many of you who had miserable families, no, it doesn't. You don't miss your family. You just never had a family in the first place. You know, they were just, you're so glad to get away from them. But for other people, you could feel that ache. You could feel that missing piece. So you try to form a family here in New York. I mean, here we are, WBAI. We are a family. Some of you just hearing my voice back on the air feel better automatically because you feel like, you know, oh, my family's back. There's Armand DeMille, there's, you know, Michael G. Haskin, there's my family back on the air after having been off for a month, you know, while we were raising money on an irregular schedule. So in a way, you make something your family. You can make television your family. You can make a TV series your family. You know, like somebody, I remember people who are great fans of La Femme Nikita, and they made Nikita a family, or people who made different things their family. You know, right now it's whatever serial you're watching. They become your family. Sitcoms become your family. TV becomes your familiar. And there's a new phenomenon, right, which is what you see everywhere you go. Family via cell phone. Now, I'm not going to trash the cell phone like you would imagine I would, as many of you feel angry at people who use cell phones. Well, I don't. Gee, think about it. When I was younger, if somebody walked around the street talking, we would probably call an ambulance and have them locked up. It probably meant the person was having hallucinations and they were talking to imaginary people. Nowadays, people have these cell phones that they don't even hold up to their ear, these Bluetooth, and they just speak into their Bluetooth, and they speak into it in just, they're walking down the street and they're talking into air, and you could hear the most amazing private things being said, and they're just talking to someone, and they're hearing something back from them. You get in a taxi cab, and the taxi cab driver is murmuring. He's saying something, and you think he's talking to you, but he's talking to someone else. The other day, I sat down at dinner, and I was alone, and I remember calling a good friend of mine and saying, I think I'll have dinner with you, or have lunch with you. It was a lunch, I remember. And I remember having lunch, talking on the phone. A wonderful feeling. Nice. So I understand cell phones being a way of people bringing other people close to them in a world where time becomes such a commodity. I understand cell phones. I understand the necessity. Yes, they are annoying. Yes, at times they're ringing. I took a bus the other day that had cell phones outlawed on the bus because they didn't want the people on the bus to be shocked, you know? It was a long bus. I mean, a bus that traveled for an hour and a half. And it was like they didn't want people on the bus to be wakened or disturbed by cell phones. So they said, no cell phone usage, please, on the bus. That was a great idea. Computers now help people. Chat, what do you think chat lines are about? It's all about homesickness. It's all about trying to find that feeling of home, trying to find that feeling of family, feeling that missing, disconnected piece. It's terrible to feel disconnected. Now, of course, there are some of you out there who like being disconnected, who choose to be disconnected, who say, you know, I've had enough of people. I'll hang out with animals. Right? And you'd rather be a veterinarian, or you'd rather be somebody who just takes care of animals and doesn't bother with people. You'd rather live in the woods and just make your friends the birds and the trees. I can understand that. Others of you just want to stay in your house and play video games. I understand. But being connected, whether it's through animals and birds and trees or video games, is an essential part of being alive. This is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind. If you don't feel connected, you may as well just go zip and disappear. You need to feel. You need to belong to something. Anything. So one of the ways that we keep ourselves belonging is through nostalgia. See? So this homesickness, now think about it. Think about adult homesickness. You know, A-H. Pretty soon we're going to have letters for it. And pretty soon somebody's going to come out with a drug that helps treat it. The treatment for adult homesickness dysphoria, AHD, will be produced by Pfizer and company, right? Like restless leg syndrome. I don't think there is such a thing as restless leg syndrome. I think they created that. You know, restless leg syndrome, we got to treat it by giving you a tranquilizer. Well, now, we're going to have treatment for adult loneliness. We have treatment for loneliness, adult homesickness, you know. So before they come up with a treatment, maybe if we understand it better, we'll understand ourselves better, and we'll be able to create what we need to create in this world, because I think that's what homesickness does. It makes you yearn for something and you don't know what. Is it your family you're yearning for, or is it the feeling of being connected? This is a very big question. Is it what you actually miss, or is it a feeling inside you that you're looking to feel? Do you miss the country if you work here in the city? Or do you miss you in the country, the way you feel? Do you miss the beach when it's the middle of the winter? Or do you miss you at the beach? Is it, do you miss your cousin Sadie? Or do you miss you when you're sitting at the farm with cousin Sadie? You know, that's the real question. The real question is it some part of you that you're longing for, you know, when you're longing for these other things? And why do people pick certain things that they're nostalgic for and not other things? Well, science has kind of looked into it. Here's what they've come up with. Halbrook and Schindler. Morris Halbrook, who was a professor of marketing at Columbia University. Robert Schindler, who was a business professor at Rutgers. They started looking, they were examining consumer nostalgia, probably working for some organization that was going to sell something. Here's what they found. There seems to be a critical period for preference formation of nostalgia, of things that you call back on in your mind. It happens during this time that people imprint on popular products. So by mere exposure isn't enough to spur nostalgic bonding. It has to do with the depth of emotional experience. When something is powerful to you, it creates an enduring bond in your psyche. Now, their theory goes on to say that you are most nostalgic for the thing, the moment in which you became a volitional consumer. Now, that means when you were suddenly doing something by yourself as opposed to being dressed by your parents. So this is, for example, when you felt like really independent and you remember something connected to your independence, like the Beatles. You know, many of you will remember Beatles music and you'll remember the wildness you felt because it was at a time that you were growing up, many of you, When the Beatles were emerging and you were emerging from your family, you were getting out of your family, so the Beatles were there. For many of you, it could be 70s music, 80s music, it could be 90s music, according to the time that you were emerging from your family. And they say that the strongest nostalgia we have are for things that took place as we were emerging. So you can imagine 40 years from now, we're going to be looking back and we're going to be nostalgic for bling, you know, for things that people are now doing, like, you know, all that hip-hop jewelry that people are wearing that is part of, represents today's independence from the families. So what are you nostalgic for? I am going to claim to you, you're either going to be nostalgic for something that reminds you of a lost time with your family or reminds you of a time of your independence, of when you first felt independent. Now, the second thing that people are nostalgic for is during the, what they call the raging hormone hypothesis of nostalgia. And this is that it is remembering a time, remembering something, particularly in males, which leads a certain significance to clothing and to hairstyles. So many men, for example, are very attracted to old cars. Because what happened with those old cars is they felt their vitality, their virility during the time of their raging hormones. So what they're looking to do is to get a 1957 Chevy because it reminds them of them when they were free and running around and having a good time because it's associated with a 57 Chevy. I mean, for some people, it's an 85 Toyota or a Honda Accord or a Volkswagen Beetle. You know, I saw a Volkswagen Beetle bus for sale the other day. I was passing by and I saw one in a car lot. And I said, oh, maybe I'll get that because I could use that for a second car or something like that. And what am I thinking? It was the bus that brought back the nostalgia, you see. I remember people with painted buses. Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind. See, we're trying to connect. We're all trying to connect. You're trying to connect with me. I'm trying to connect with you. Homesickness, nostalgia. You feel it over and over again. And as I take your call today and ask you this question, what memory comes to you? What comes to you? What do you remember? Like, here are some of the things that people remember. People who grew up in the 1940s, they remember Humphrey Bogart. They remember swing dancing. Remember how swing dancing just came back as a style? Why? Because that was the raging hormone hypothesis. That was also the independence from your parent hypothesis. If that was the time when you associate with your wildness, with your lucid time, it was the beginning, you know? So if you were during that time, swing dancing, the shadow, fedora caps, fedora hats, just coming back in styles, Judy Garland. In the 50s, Pez, remember Pez dispensers? The Beatniks, Betty Page, Elvis Presley, Tupperware. You know, Tupperware has come back in fashion. People are buying Tupperware and actually having it around their homes again. In the 60s, it was Bewitched. It was The Twist. Miniskirts, The Magical Mystery Tour. All of that brings back memories. Think about it for those of you. Now there, you see, if you touch the people who are just at that time in the 70s, Farrah Fawcett, The Brady Bunch, disco music, flared pants. What were you like in the 70s? What were you like? Were you just growing up? The 80s had moon boots, had punk, the Blue Lagoon, Donkey Kong, Reese's Pieces, the Dukes of Hazzard, all associated with the 80s. And the 90s was, you know, the haircuts, Monica Lewinsky, grunge music, so on and so forth. All of these memories that come back from these different periods. What about yours, my friends? 212-209-2900 is our number here. Be so nice to talk to you again. 212-209-2900. We're going to be hearing from you. Here's what I'd like to know. Is there one particular thing that just touches you nostalgically? Is there one particular thing that just hits you that you just don't, you just, every time you hear it, you practically, it just fills your heart. It makes you feel like, you know, you're back home. 212-209-2900. So it'll take us a couple of minutes to get you back up because we haven't had you on the air for a long, long time. Sometimes it's your music. A friend of mine the other day was grieving Pavarotti's death. When I asked what was it about Pavarotti that meant so much, she said to me, it wasn't Pavarotti. It was an era in my family. It was my family in opera and what opera meant to my family, how we used to have it all over the place, and how when Pavarotti died, the reason it touched me so hard is because it was like the end of my family. It was like familiar to me. Things like that. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Armand.
Yes.
For me, it's probably like the early and mid-90s, the New York City and surrounding areas, the rave scene there.
Yes.
It's completely different than what it is now.
But for you, how old are you now?
I'm 31.
You're 31. So in the 90s, how old were you?
Maybe 21, you know.
21. Now, 21, during that time, you were part of a rave scene, weren't you?
Yeah.
Wasn't it wonderful?
Yeah, it was just, you know, a lot of it probably me looking back, but, you know.
But describe it to me. Describe me how you were during that time. Give me the best rave view.
It was pretty much just like a big tribe, and I'd walk in, and you could pretty much leave all the problems at the door, and it just seemed like a very, it was almost like it was like an extended family.
And you'd, like, walk in and you'd have these people, even though you don't know them, what would you be doing? Would you be touching bodies? Would you be...
It wasn't even so much that, just mostly dancing, you know, like, exchanging a smile, dancing, and just pretty much, there wasn't a lot of ego, and, you know,
what involved. Was the beauty of the rave scene as opposed to all the other scenes? What was the difference in the dance of the rave scene?
I think it was that lack of ego, lack of structure. You pretty much did your own thing, and, you know...
And no matter who you were, whether you had a partner or not, you could be a part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was like walking into a place where any family that you had that you weren't happy with disappeared because everybody in there was joyous together. And here you are, a young man. What's your first name?
Scott.
Scott, here you are, young Scott, walking into a rave club. And you're having you just go in the door and now Scott is part of it. And you start dancing and you're having a wild time. You really love it. You get carried into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you, as I say it, do you hear it? Do you feel it?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like the best of Scott.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear that music nowadays, do you feel the same way?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Especially the older music of it, too.
Like what? Pick one.
In that scene, it's not as structured. You know, they call it old school break beats.
Uh-huh, but an old school break beat, such as what? What would you put on? If you had to pick a record and put it on, what would it be?
Even there's a group called Rabbit in the Moon, so something like that. And they have a lot of pianos. It's like it's emotional, but it has the raw beats at the same time.
Rabbit in the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if Rabbit on the Moon suddenly appeared, you would be transported.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you ever do that nowadays? Any other way? Do you ever feel that way? Any other way now, Scott?
When I'm out in nature, when I'm out either camping or at a festival. But it's that same thing where you get to leave the world behind. It may be escapism to a point, but I don't even think it's bad if it's, you know.
Well, let's look at that word escapism. You know, what does it mean? It means exactly what you're saying.
Mm.
I want to get away with all the what that's behind me. The pressure, the sadness, the difficulties, the struggling.
Mm. Even thinking of, like, politics and international, you know.
Yeah. Ugh. See, now, when you get out there and you get out into some kind of a concert or a... Even out in nature, or you get into some dance, you know, Rabbits in the Moon. I mean, you're there. You can put that all behind you. Let me just ask you one more question, okay, Scott,
sure.
If you don't mind. Your family, the biggest struggle that your mother had with your father, what was it? What was the biggest argument she had?
Probably not living up to her standards.
Right. She would nag your father, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
How did that feel when you were a kid?
I think we all got it. It was, you know, the whole family got nagged to a degree.
So you were nagged. Now, imagine this. Imagine we had Scott. being kind of nagged by a mother who had high expectations for everybody in the family. You got a father who's henpecked by mom somewhat. You got the other kids in the family, and they're all kind of under the voice of this one person saying you're not good enough.
Mm.
And that's one life. And then you go to a club, and you pay your admittance, and you close the door, and everybody says, in one form or another, Scott, I love you the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
Little wonder that you would love it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Little wonder that what we call escapism really is escaping towards
mm-hmm.
a Scott that you're looking for. And you're looking for a Scott that's not worried.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, you're a beautiful guy. Well, it sounds like you've come a long way, and I could tell you, don't give it up. Whatever it is you're searching for, whatever it is you're looking for, every time you go to a concert or you bring somebody along with you or you touch some other spirit, you're bringing them a real kind man.
Mm.
Nice of you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks for calling in, Scott.
Bye.
So as we see, that which we remember, that which comes back to us, has more significance than we imagine. Of course, you could say it's about the political atmosphere. I want to escape the political atmosphere. But was childhood a political atmosphere? You know, was home a political atmosphere? What voices do you really want to shut out? You know, when I was a kid, I was a drummer. And as a drummer, phew, did I shut out voices. I can make more noise than anybody else. A very terrific profession for a young person who didn't like hearing all the sounds around. So many of you, my friends, have this, and when we come back from our break today, we're going to take a short break, we're going to be listening to hear you call in to tell me about what is it that touches your heart that brings you back in time and helps you explore this other part of you. So we're going to have to take an early short break. And when we come back, my friends, we're going to be taking more of your calls. This is Armand DeMille with you, back with you in just a couple of minutes. just about to lose my mind. Remember who that is, my friends? Yeah. Marvin Gaye. I played it for you because I wanted you to hear something nostalgic. This is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM. We are bringing you ideas and concepts, and we're going to be taking your calls. You know, we're talking about nostalgia, and we're talking about homesickness both, because they both seem to be related. You see, nostalgia is a form of homesickness in a way. The term nostalgia was actually introduced by the Swiss physician Johannes Hoffer, in 1688. That's pretty long ago. He talked about the adverse psychological and physiological symptoms displayed by Swiss mercenaries who plied their trade on foreign shores. Hoffer conceptualized nostalgia as a medical or neurological disease. You know, do you understand that at one point it was a disease and the symptoms were thought to include persistent thinking of home, bouts of weeping, irregular heartbeats? And he described nostalgia as a cerebral disease. He thought of it as some vibration of animal spirits through the fibers of the middle brain in which impressed traces of ideas of the home still clung. They thought about doing surgery to cure it. Yeah. Yeah. Now then came along a physician, J.J. Schnauzer. Right, who was barking up a different tree. He said, he was a contemporary of Hoffer's, actually. He proposed instead that nostalgia was due to sharp differentiation in atmospheric pressure, causing excessive bodily pressurization, which in turn drove blood from the heart to the brain, therefore producing the observed affliction of over-sentiment. Therefore, according to Schnauzer, he said people who go from one place to another, they have a change in atmospheric pressure. And the atmospheric pressure sends the blood up to your brain. And then it sends up, and if you send too much blood up to your brain, you get sentimental. And that's what causes this nostalgic feeling. Schnauzer applied his theory to account for the supposedly high incidence of nostalgia among Swiss mercenaries who left their Alpine homes. Right, for the plains of Europe. So he says, it's a change in atmosphere. And then finally, not content with either explanation, some military physicians proposed that nostalgia was largely confined to the Swiss. He said it's only the Swiss that have it because of the unremitting cowbells in the Alps, which create damage to the eardrums and brain, which cause this nostalgic feeling. Among the Swiss. Amazing. Anyway, then along comes a doctor, Wildschut, believe it or not, is his name, Wildschut. He said there isn't a whole lot of research on nostalgia, but he comes along convinced that there are six criteria that meet the physiological thing. And it just goes on and on and on. And it's basically, this is why you miss your mama. And we are going to cure you of it. Some of us give you surgery. Some of us change your atmospheric pressure inside. Some of us change your diet. But none of us think of the fact that you're just not happy where you are now. And you yearn for a time when you felt more vital and happier. 212-209-29. I wonder if anybody still does surgery for nostalgia. You know, in a way, depression is nostalgia. Depression is kind of pulling inside the self in such a way, you know, that you're just kind of saying, I've got to find some safe place inside myself, and I can't find it any other place. 212-209-2900. Let's talk about yours. Hey, it's good to have you back with us. How are you going to take another call? You're on the air. Hello there.
Yes, my name is Francis. Thank you for taking my call.
Hello, Francis. Thank you for being there.
I have a nostalgia for homeland.
Which homeland?
England.
Anyone's homeland?
Pardon?
Oh, England, you said.
England, right.
Yeah, now you're from England, right?
Yes, I am, but believe it or not, I've been here 42 years, and I'm not unhappy, really. It's just that there are times when I think it's because I came as an adult to this country, and I think when people leave their homeland, when they're raised in another environment sometimes.
So, Francis, does it make you want to go back to England to visit?
Oh, sure, yeah.
And do you do that?
Yes, I do on occasion. I haven't been now in 9 years. I'm hoping to go in a few years, but
and why
financially
is it,
I couldn't make it.
Why can't you make it? Are you not physically well?
My job. I'm not formally educated, so I have a problem with getting decent paying jobs to make it.
Yeah, now that's kind of difficult because here you are in America, not formally educated, whatever that, and you can't get a decent enough job to be able to get you the money. So do you live alone?
Yes.
So you live alone in New York?
No, I'm in Whiting, New Jersey.
Okay, you're in New Jersey and you live alone and you're struggling through a job. And you think about, oh, if only I could go back to England. Now, when you go back to England, do you go back to your hometown?
Yes.
What town is that?
A place called Wolverhampton.
Wolverhampton?
Wolverhampton, right.
Wolverhampton. And where is that?
That's in the central part.
And you have
where the Industrial Revolution began.
And when you go there, can you actually sit there in the middle of town and feel safe?
No, I'm happy, actually. I feel happier.
Of course.
Safe, I don't know about safe, because I feel safe wherever I am.
But happier. And is there family there around you?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're saying it, you know, what you're really saying is you miss the feeling of being with your connection, and right now it's just a struggle. Like our young man Scott, who called a little earlier, who said, you know, it's always struggling and worrying about whether I'm doing good enough or worrying about whether I can make the grade. And when I go there and I stay there, I just feel okay, you know? So listen, I can't imagine. You just have to explain to me. Why don't you just go and live there?
I am going to eventually.
You're just waiting, yeah?
Right.
When do you think you might do it?
Oh, not till I retire. I have about another 12 years left.
You know,
I'm going through this process where I, should I stay, shouldn't I? Because I like America, really, and I like a lot of what America has given me. Because I had, you know, I struggled with the class system when I was over there.
Yeah, oh, so over there you had the class system too, right?
Yes. Much more than here.
Much more.
Yes.
So it was when you were over there, you weren't too happy. And when you're over here, you're not too happy. But when you're over here, you think about being over there. You know,
well,
but
you
when
know
you're
what
over
I do? I subscribe to the BBC America channel, and that helps a lot. Because I see British movies, British ways of life sometimes. And really, it's just nice to... It's also sometimes one feels isolated from people who speak the same language, actually, even though we speak English. But I guess it's because people know what I'm talking about sometimes.
Here, yes, they do.
You know, people here don't always understand what I'm talking about when I speak of home.
Well, I want to thank you. I want to welcome you to our family here at WBAI,
oh, yes.
Francis.
I think it's so wonderful.
You know, it's such wonderful to have you as a part of us. But if you ever want to go back to there, you could just hook us up through the internet, and you could be listening to this program
yes,
somewhere in the
right.
middle of of that town.
I tell my relatives to listen to WBAI.
Well, I bet they could. I'll bet they could. You know, if they're on the same schedule.
Yes.
Did you get? Thanks for calling in.
Thank you very much.
Right, bye-bye. Bye. 212-209-2900. Listen, man, it's rough out there. And sometimes, wherever you are, you know, it's just better over there. You know, wherever over there is, it's better. You know what I mean? 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille, we're taking your calls. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there, Armand.
Hello there.
I'm Jody, and I've listened to your program and enjoyed your inspiration for many years, so I'm glad to have a chance finally to talk to you.
Jody, thank you so much. Where are you from?
I'm born and bred in Manhattan, West Sider. So I've lived in other parts of the country. I've returned home. I've spent most of my adult life here. And talking about nostalgia, I did something that's maybe in that category. This Sunday, I participated in the New York City Marathon.
Aha! How did you do?
First time in 13 years. And I hadn't run in over 10 years, and crazily enough, I decided to do this with about 2 months of training. I finished it. I did it in 6 hours. I did it with joy, no pain, no injuries, which is, you know...
Here's a real question for you, Jody.
Yeah.
What was it like running in the crowd?
Well, I was going to say that I think why people love to run in the crowd, and I was in the back where... The long distance runners are who are on the road for five.
But there was a lot of you.
I think why people love the New York City Marathon and come all over the world is that New York is one big family. It's one
exactly.
big sense of belongingness and community, and that's why you feel you can do it. I had not run more than 10 miles, and I could run 26. I could do 26. And it's because of all the love and the family feeling and the support that you get.
You know, I looked, as I was watching the runners, I saw gazelles.
Yes.
I was imagining a huge tribe of gazelles, a huge number of gazelles going somewhere. Because I saw such grace, and I said, it's so together. You know, with the people on the sides and the people who are running, it's just such a family thing. And I think you're right. I think it does bring an alienated family of people in New York who are alienated together. That's really what the value is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not so much just the physical thing of having completed it. Well, congratulations to you
thank
for being
you.
Such an active member, Jody.
Well, thank you. I would just want to say and be an inspiration to other people that you can do it, even if you haven't been running for a long, long time. Even if you've never run, you might need more than 2 months to prepare. But it's an experience of a lifetime. Because
well, you know, Jody,
where else
might you get it besides in running? Because you could do it too. You could find that feeling. And I'm going to ask you, where can you get better connected in your life every day?
Where could I get
better connected every day? Yes.
Well, I think the internet. For example, I just got an email from a friend in Paris. Apparently, in France, yesterday or today was the Journée de l'Amitié, Day of Friendship.
Yep.
And so I said, "Oh, I'm going to write to a lot of French friends about my experiences this last Sunday and this last few weeks." So the internet, to me, rather than alienating, is a wonderful way of bringing different people, you know, into my life.
That's great. That's great. And do you live alone, Jody?
Yes, I am a single person.
Uh-huh. And how long have you been living in Manhattan?
I've been here 4 years, and I was in California for about 10, but most of my adult life I've lived in Manhattan.
So you have your way of connecting.
I do.
You like to connect through the internet. You like to connect through running. You like to connect through some kind of an activity.
Well, I don't. I stay connected through the internet. I don't use the internet. I've never been on a chat room, dating, none of that. I connect more person to person, and I think New York is a fabulous place to do that. You know, I was leaving a theater with a friend. We were talking about something about the play we had seen. And I said something, a woman turned around and started talking with us, and we had a wonderful conversation for an hour. So, to me, New York is a very It's a city where it's very easy to connect because everybody is so close together, and it really stems from your own attitude. Now, I was in Paris this summer, and people say the French are unfriendly. My experience was way different.
It's just what happens to you when you're there, you know? And you, Jody, sound like the kind of person that if I get on a bus, I'm hoping I'm sitting in back of you. Because, you know, it's just like, oh, good, I got somebody to talk to. Or in front of you.
I hope we do encounter each other sometime, Armand. And thank you so much for the great contribution you're making on BAI and to the airways of New York City, because we need to have more of that kind of energy. People should stop reading those dumb, bad news newspapers and start listening to people like you and make their lives shine and soar rather than feel bad. You know what I'm saying?
Thanks a lot for being with us.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye,
sure.
Armand.
Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Good evening. Good afternoon. I have this question. Do you have still men serious in your fan drive for WBAI available?
I can't really hear. You know, in order to get that thing, it's no longer available through the fan drive, but you could call my office.
Can I call?
212-757-4488.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Hi there, you're on the air. Hello there.
Yes, I would like to speak to Armand.
You are speaking to Armand.
Hi, Armando. I love your program. Listen, when I was like 9 years old, I always listened to a particular music. It was protest. And
it was what?
Protest.
Protest.
Yes, it's from my country, Spanish music, and we have Mercedes Sosa, different artists. But I remember always that music. Even today, I still listen to the music. But that time, it was not a good time for me, and I still come back to the same music, even if it doesn't really get me to enjoy what happened before.
What was her name? Mercedes what?
Mercedes Sosa.
Sota? S-O-T-A, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was that kind of music. Do you have that music available to you nowadays?
Yes.
And so you listen to it, and when you listen to it, what happens?
Well, I enjoy the music. I like to dance the music. I really identify myself with that music.
Yeah. Yeah. And tell me about when you first heard it. How old were you in what country?
I grew up with that music, Dominican Republic.
In the Dominican Republic, you grew up with it. So when you were a teenager and you were dancing, when you were young, when you were like 20 years old, where were you? Were you in the Dominican Republic when you were 20 years old?
I came here when I was around 25.
Sure. So your youth and your vitality and your aliveness is associated with this music, which is why you love this music. It's not the content of it. It's not the words of it. It's the thing of you being this lively, vibrant, dancing person, right, during that time.
Yes, but I started listening to that music when I was around 8 years old. And what I'm saying is that was not a happy time for me. And I keep going back to the same music.
It wasn't a happy time.
No.
So when you hear the music, does it make you feel happy or does it make you feel sad?
No, it doesn't make me feel sad. I enjoy the music.
Yeah, because you miss your family.
Well, like you say before, I don't know if I miss my family or I miss another family that I didn't have.
Yes, a lot of people are like that. They miss the family they didn't have. And there's a part of you, do you feel alienated in New York? Do you feel separate from other people while you're here?
Yeah, I feel really separate. But like when I go to my country and I have already a week, I miss who I am here.
Yes, I see. So who you are here is who you like. Your country is what you like, but when you go to your country, you lose a little bit of who you are here, so you're kind of caught in between. So the only thing you have left is to listen to that music, you know, that sort of music that kind of brings you back to yourself back then while you're here. It's very difficult. And do you have any family here in America?
No, just my two kids.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Let me ask you something. What's your name?
Yvette,
are you lonely?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think the real thing, Yvette, is that what you're saying to me is you're lonely and you need to feel connected. And there's some way maybe that you could feel a little more connected that you are, but you're afraid to get out there and make it happen. You know, you've got the responsibility of two children. There are so many different organizations around the Dominican Republic and people. You never think of going to any of those events or just seeing what it's like?
You're talking about here?
Yeah, here.
Well, I never get, like, into the... the only thing that I do that kind of really like, get together with a big group is the church. That's all.
Yeah. Well, take a look outside of that, you know. I've got a feeling that you have more, that you could find much more for yourself if you were to reach out to other people from the Dominican Republic who are here in America, especially in New York, because I know there are some terrific organizations here in New York as well.
You know, I have some problem with that. What we have in New York, upstate, up New York, I think, and I have a problem with that. We are a loud people, Dominican, and I don't identify myself being a loud person.
So you're looking for a more gentle way of being?
A little bit more.
Yeah. Have you ever, you know, I could hear, you know, you don't know it, but you're depressed. And I think what you need to do is to find somebody to talk to just for even a short time, because it would be like, it would lift your heart. You need somebody to help you with your gentle heart, because I hear you're in pain. You know? And until then, you're just going to have to do a lot of dancing around your house.
I guess so.
Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
Right. 212-209-2900. You know, just one thing about being somebody who feels isolated and wants to connect, very often you'll find that there's something in you that stops you from doing the things necessary to make the connection. And very often that's saying to yourself in some way or other, I really want to stay with my memory of the past instead of taking the chance, the risk, of being here in the present, which it would take, especially for Yvette, to get out there and to be what she said, loud people, and she doesn't want to be with loud people because she's a gentle soul. So it takes a lot of work for her to get out there, and she's there just taking care of her two children. I don't know, Yvette, I am sure there's a world that would welcome you. You sound like a good soul. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., to bring you more such great programming, and I certainly this week I want to focus on getting as many phone calls in as possible. We have a special guest for Thursday, but for tomorrow I'll be doing something more and be taking more of your calls. Hey, thanks for being with us. Nice to have you back, and here's a little nostalgia. I will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. If you want a copy of today's program, you can call 212-757-4488, or you can send me an email, armand@thepositivemind.com. Bye-bye for now.